And what a joy it has been just to experience all that we've got to tonight. And thank you again for being part of all of it. I want to preach for a little while from Acts chapter 4, a familiar verse when you find yourself there in chapter 4, verse 12. And the Apostle Peter is preaching to the Sanhedrin. He's getting questioned pretty hard from them, and he's going to respond in the way that's happening. And so if you'd find your place there in Acts chapter 4, we look forward to getting into the Word of God tonight for just a little while. Verse number 12 of Acts 4 says this. This is on the tail end of his sermon here as he's preaching to them and telling them some things. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you look up in verse number 7, when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this? I understand that they're put in custody and they're jailed up in the first few verses, bound there. And then they're said, what power are you saying these things in? And then verse number 8, he gives the reason. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, and then tells them these things. He is filled with the Holy Ghost after his question. Look down at verse number 10. He's honest with them. He doesn't try to trump up anything that he's done. Be it known unto you all that, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And he tells them, not only is he honest and tells them that, but then he also, down in verse 12, we already read, he tells them of their need for Jesus Christ. And so he's the preacher just clearing off a spot when they say, now, how are you doing all this? And what are these great works done through? And how is it getting accomplished? He's tell, first of all, the status is that he's full of the Holy Ghost. He's yielded to God and God's using him in a special way. But he's just honest and tells them that it was Jesus Christ that's done this. It's not something we've done. And then he turns it right around to them and says, by the way, all of you all need to come to Christ as well, because there's no salvation nowhere else found except for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby we must be saved. And so we want to look at that for just a little while tonight. And this title, just a practical thought about us, we've got a lot coming up, and we've got our fair booth that will coming up next month, and I challenge people to get on board with that and get in the way so that you can lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pick a night, pick a day, and say, that's my slot. We've also got the activities, and or not activities, but the ministries here that on every week we've got folks that are involved in the bus ministry. Some are on the buses, some are visiting for the buses, some are counting as they come in. But it's always a way that you can get involved with souls being saved. And I think about this. I realize one of the problems that we have is maintaining a burden for the souls of men and women, boys and girls. I think if we're honest, we all have to realize that there have been times when we were white hot, realizing that people needed to be saved everywhere. But then if we're equally as honest, we have to say sometimes we've cooled down on our drive and our desire to see the gospel get to the world. And so I want to preach for just a little while the ways to maintain a burden. If you're like most of us, it doesn't always stay as fervent as it should. And so I want to give you these 3 points and trust that they're a blessing in these few moments that I have with you tonight. Number one, we need to be truly convinced that man needs a Savior. Look at our text verse that we just left in verse number 12 of Acts 4. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If we're not careful, we will think that there's some other way, that somewhere, somehow, if people don't know, and if it's just, if they tried their best and they were sincere about this and they were honest about their intent over here, if they'll think something, or they were just born in a nation where, as Brother Ty just mentioned tonight, if they're born somewhere where it wasn't so common, wasn't so normal as it is here, if they were like that, then maybe somehow there's just some other way. If we're not careful, our logic will get us to say that it's not as important as it is. But let me tell you this, the scripture is very clear, again, not only in this place, but others, and that is that every man, woman, boy, girl, everybody needs Jesus Christ as their Savior. in our pluralistic society where we don't want to offend and we certainly don't want to be divisive, nor do we want to be exclusionary, it's easy for us just to turn a blind eye to the needs of the world. But I'm telling you tonight that Scripture is very clear that every person needs a Savior. Why would every person need a Savior? Well, because there's a couple things underneath that point. We ought to have a conviction about heaven in John chapter 14, verse number 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If I were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You know the verses as well as I do. There's a conviction about heaven because there is a place that God wants us to live forevermore. And God's desire is for everybody to live in heaven forever. It wasn't just a few. It wasn't a majority. It wasn't a portion of everybody. God's will is for everybody to be saved. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all, A-double-L, should come to repentance. And so there's a conviction about heaven. Why should we be convinced that everybody, every man, woman, boy, girl, everybody needs a Savior? Because the conviction of heaven, in my Father's house are many mansions. But I hate to go to the next point underneath there, but it's true just the same. And there's a conviction about hell. In Matthew chapter 25, verse number 46, it talks about this. It talks about going away into everlasting punishment. That's not the only verse. The Bible talks about there being a literal hell that we need to shun through salvation. But there is a place where folks are in eternal torment, the Bible says, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord in Revelation. But death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And although it's unpopular, and it's not very mainstream anymore, it's still just as true. And we need to be totally convinced that everybody needs a Savior. I'm talking tonight about how to maintain a burden because life gets in the way. You've got work and you've got activities and you've got things and you've got to eat and you've got to go here and you've got duties. You've got all of these things. And if we're not careful, all of that stuff will get us to forget that there's a world out there that needs a Savior. Let me put it like this. Every single person that I pass tomorrow, and everybody I don't pass, but every single person I pass tomorrow will live somewhere forever. It's sobering to me. And then it's convicting to me because how many days have gone by when I just simply walked past all those eternal souls without thinking about it, without trying to share with them, without trying to do something to get the gospel to them. So every person you pass tomorrow, they'll live somewhere forever. Either eternal life, which is in heaven, or eternal death, the Bible says, talks about hell. So how to maintain that burden is for me to be totally convinced that man needs a Savior. Number two, how do I maintain this burden? And that is to be totally convinced that Jesus died for the whole world. In 1 John chapter 2, verse number 2, you can turn if you want, but it says this, and he, that's Jesus, is the propitiation, that means the payment, all of that, for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You can't talk to the wrong person. You can't give the gospel message to the wrong person. They may not accept it. They may reject, and they may do it vehemently. But you can't go to somebody that Jesus does not love. Not only will everybody that I pass tomorrow, not only do they have an eternal soul that will live somewhere forever, but also everybody I pass tomorrow, Jesus died for their sins. Every one of them. There's nobody that he put into a different category and said, my salvation. We sang a lot this morning about the blood of Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. There's nobody whose sins Jesus did not make provision for. So if I want to maintain this burden that sometimes we have and sometimes we don't, first of all, I need to be totally convinced that man needs a Savior. There's no other way. There's no lifestyle. There's no good works. There's no trying again. There's no putting your best foot forward. There's no, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. There's none of that. There's only one way, and that's a Savior, Jesus Christ. And number two, realize and be totally convinced that Jesus died for the whole world. Let me just give you a little insight. There are certain sins that really sicken me. All sins are sickening to God, but certain sins really sicken you. Now, I don't have to go into all of them, but there are certain ones that really turn your stomach. But all of those combined, as much as it might make you uncomfortable, the person that's involved in the worst of the worst in your book, Jesus wants them to be saved. Wow. I'm talking about the ones that makes your blood boil or your makes you just feel were really bad on the inside. See, it's easy for us, the things that we struggle with, the things that aren't the bad ones. You understand, they're all of them are bad. But some of the ones that we don't struggle with, we have no problem with that person coming to Christ. The clean sins, we might call them. The ones that aren't as disgusting. But then that one person that does those things that are totally reprehensible, just horrible. Those sins, Jesus died for that person as well. So how do I maintain this burden? How am I going to, if I do, be totally convinced that Jesus died for the whole world? And then number three, the last one. In Matthew chapter 28, verse number 19, the Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. We know the Great Commission. Number three, be totally convinced God can use you or me, if I'm putting it to myself, in soul winning and world evangelism. You say, well, yeah, I know. No. Let's get it down. Be totally convinced that God can use you and me in world evangelism. Either the Netherlands or Gray or Kingsport or at the school you go to. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, the Bible says, Jesus told them, ye shall be witnesses unto me, and then gives the areas that they would be witnesses unto me. It was just a, you shall be doing this. This is a ongoing command, and so much so that Matthew 28, the Great Commission, it was saying to go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, and teach them, and then teach them again to go back and start the whole cycle over again. So we've been on a continual command from the time that Jesus gave the Great Commission. We're supposed to be re-upping every generation of believers. There's a good friend of ours, a pilot, that was one of our bus captains in Murfreesboro, and somebody who had his life all together, and he wanted, though, to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and wanted to do it in a very real and vigorous way. Charlie Fryermuth, a good brother that's in heaven now, was also a bus captain in Iowa, a different church that we served at. He was an executive at the job that he had, and many people wouldn't have thought that he would be the one that would just go out week after week after week and try to find people and get them on a bus and have some promotions and get them in and give them the gospel, but the Charlie did. I'm thinking of another man who I won't give his name, but he was also in our church in Iowa when we served there. He was shy and backwards, and his social skills certainly were not as developed as maybe yours are, but he came out every week, and he wanted to go out and take gospel tracts and pass them out, and in his way, try to do something for the souls of men and women, boys and girls. Another church that we were at, this fella that won't name him either, but he was very awkward in social settings, and he wasn't the one that had the gift of gab for sure. And he was so faithful to go out again and again and just try to give out gospel tracts and teach people how to be saved. So I don't care whether you're eloquent or whether you stutter and stammer, whether you're just got the gift of gab or you find it hard to just speak up and say hello. All of us can be involved in world evangelism and getting the gospel to this world. You remember that God used Moses, and what was Moses' response when he says, this is what I'm going to have you do? He said, surely not me. He said, I can't talk very plain, and I can't do this, and I can't do this. And God answers him back, says, who made your mouth? And said, God said that he would
he was gracious with him and sent his family member with him to help him out. But remember, like God used Moses, who felt like he was ill-equipped, God can use you. You say, Pastor, I'm not very smooth. Neither was he. You say, Pastor, I'm not very resourceful. Neither were a lot of people. And sometimes people will give me this excuse. Well, I'm afraid if I get into the gospel message, the plan of salvation, I get into that stuff with somebody, they'll ask me a question that I don't know the answer to. And that's a legit fear. Can I tell you what I do? Listen closely. I say, I don't know. When they ask me those hard questions, because oftentimes I don't. And sometimes there is no answer to the questions they ask. They're just pondering things, and sometimes they're trying to stump you, but sometimes it's just a wondering about this, that, or the other. But my friend, if Satan can use some hang up, some hold up, to keep us from getting the gospel to people, if he can, he will. And if we let him, then he's successful. So how do we maintain a burden for the souls of everybody? Brother Shad, Brother Eugene, seeing this young fella in Ridgepoint be saved today. I think last week possibly there was somebody in one of the departments that were saved as well. Then how do we maintain a burden to see that without getting ourselves so going along with the flow that we just forget to think about this world that's in need of a Savior? Well, number one, be totally convinced that this whole world needs one. Because as you watch the news and I watch the news, if we're not careful, we'll just get desensitized to the fact that every person all around this globe has an eternal soul. And every one of them needs the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, what about those places where they don't know about him yet? That's why we want to support missionaries so they can know. Because Scripture is true as it says, there's no other name given among men. And I do like the rhetoric sometimes of a more liberal presenter where he says, well, surely some of them will be okay. Although I like that rhetoric, it's not biblical rhetoric. And as much as it sounds like I would want to believe that because it's hard to think about, but I have to come back to Scripture. And you have to land on the pages of this book every time. And there's no other name that whereby people must be saved. I've got to be convinced that this world needs a Savior. I've got to be convinced that Jesus died for the entire world, or else I'll start classifying and who's more important than another, and we'll send missions here and here and here. But truly, he wants the whole world. Could I just say it like this? Here in our area, if we're talking about locally, he wants everybody in government-assisted housing to hear the gospel, just like he wants the people that live in the house that costs three times as much as your house to hear the gospel. He wants them all. Be totally convinced that he died for the down and outs and the up and outs. And then thirdly, be totally convinced that he really can use you because you are not unlike other Bible characters. We look at somebody like Joseph. Well, he's the golden boy, is he? He said, well, I can never be like that. Well, there's other characters in the Bible we might be more like, but God can still use us. I don't have to be as effective as somebody else. I just have to get in the race and run for what God wants me to run for. I told you about several people at our church that some were, I thought, a little too prestigious to be involved in an aggressive evangelistic ministry, but they served and they got their suits dirty and they just helped. And then I talked about other people who were a little less able to handle themselves in a social setting than most of the people in this room, but they were faithful to get the gospel out. And then I'm talking to people who are watching via live stream, and some are right here in this room, and you don't have the outlet that you used to. But I talked to some sweet people from our church that say, Pastor, I'm putting a gospel track in every one of those envelopes that I send out, and I don't know who gets my bill, but they're getting a gospel track along with it. I tell you, keep it up, because all of us can be involved in world evangelism. You say, I don't know who's going to read it. Neither do I. You say, they might just throw it away. That's on them. And so tonight, we've got a lot to do to maintain this burden. And here's what happens if we don't work to maintain it. Otherwise, the cares of this world keep us from thinking about it. I don't think anybody in this room says, I don't care about the world. I don't think anybody would have that attitude. But what does happen to everybody in this room is the cares of this world keep us so consumed that we forget to care on a regular basis. I'd like for many of us to pray tonight that God would use us to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We would quit buying the lie that it can't be done. We'll quit buying the lie that I'm not much. And we'll just say, Lord, like you told Moses, you made me. If you'd have wanted somebody more eloquent, you'd have made it that way. If you'd have wanted somebody more educated, you could have made it that way. If you'd wanted somebody that had more of an analytical mind, you could have made it that way. But you made me exactly like I am. And every one of us are supposed to have something to do with this world evangelism. I thought this would be a good night to share that with Brother Ty being here. And it's not fair that we would send our missionaries around the world and then we not be involved in reaching people with the gospel right here. I'd like to enlist every single one of us. I hope our track rack is emptied out tonight. You get them, put them in your purse, ladies, put them in your pocket, men, and let's get the gospel out. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray, dear Lord, that we would once again pick up the burden and keep motivated in this idea of you wanting to use us for the gospel. Lord, help us to keep a burden maintained in our heart, and let us not let the cares of this world drown it out. Please, I ask in Jesus' name, as the ladies begin to play, and if you're able to, I invite you to stand together with me. My friend, I don't think I have to look very far to find people that have gotten a little bit cold on their burden, their zeal for getting the gospel. Would you come and pray for us? Pray for our whole church that we could be once again that alive, vibrant, gospel-presenting place as we go out through here everywhere with gospel tracts, with a desire to spread the word. Would you come and pray? Pray for yourself. Pray for your church that we might maintain this burden for souls. This is not the first time it's happened, but I preach myself under conviction because I have not been as fervent for reaching souls as I should be. And so I would imagine that there's many of us in this room that need to pray the same prayer. Lord, forgive me for getting caught up in the cares of this world and forgetting that there are lost people all around me. If that's you tonight, tell it to the Lord. Let's get it right. And let's once again fire up that burden to get the gospel to people who desperately need it. Make an altar out of your pew right there where you stand. Come to the front, whatever you want to do. But let's get our souls on fire one more time. Reminding ourselves that this whole world needs a Savior, that there's nobody that's not a prospect for the gospel, and that God wants to use you and He wants to use me.
as they play one more verse, perhaps you're here this evening. I always ask, I think I do, and you're not sure that you're saved. Brother Daniel's right here in front of the pulpit. That gospel that we need to get to the world is the message of Jesus Christ. He died for your sins, wants you to go to heaven, but you need His forgiveness. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you step out and come? Let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be sure heaven's your home. Thank you. May look this way. Well, here's what we're going to do. We're a little bit later than I typically let out, but if you've got a child down in the kids' class, you can slip down and get him or her. We're going to ask the Campbells to go out their table here in just a moment, but I'm also going to ask you to be seated. We're going to show a video. Miss Maddie Brown, our missionary to South Africa, had sent a video updating us on the latest progress in her life, and so we're going to show that at this time, and I think you'll be interested in what's going on there.
Ongo bubele bakobona u
na umbe fulo
diali.
Molweni nonke ndingo Madison Gabalam, missionary yako eMzantsi Afrika. Hello everyone, my name is Maddie Brown, your missionary in Port Elizabeth, South Africa. And I just want to start off by saying thank you so much for your partnership over the last year and a half as I've been serving here in South Africa. I wanted to give you all a quick update via video and introduce you to my now fiancé, Linoku Schlesingutla, or better known as Romsa. Romsa and I met in 2023 when I was here as an intern. And we met then, and then we kept in touch for a year and a half as I did deputation. And then when I moved back here in 2025, we've continued getting to know each other. And we recently got engaged in April, and we are getting married in November, the 14th of this year. And so I'm going to let him share a little bit more about his testimony, introduce himself, and then we'll share some ways that you all can pray with us at the end.
Hey, everyone. My name is Linoko Schlesingutla, known as Romsa. It's my nickname. It's easier for everyone. I was born and raised in South Africa in a small town called Soweto, and I didn't get saved until I was 18 years old when a missionary came and started a church plant in my town, Jeremy Hall. And I got saved at this church, and I was baptized, and I've been serving alongside missionary Jeremy Hall ever since. Over the years, the Lord has opened some doors for me to serve as interim pastor twice, once at my home church when my pastor was sick for several months, and the second time in a church plant called Fellowship Baptist Church that was also led by missionary Josh Sullivan. And right now, I am currently at a church, another church plant started by missionary Jeremy Hall, Newton Park Baptist Church. We're now almost 3 years with this church plant, and the Lord has been blessing and adding to His church. And, recently, I've been accepted as an intern for VBM. This is the first step in becoming a church planting missionary. That's the burden the Lord has laid on my heart. It's to be in missions. I myself am a product of missions, and I've seen the need. I've seen it in South Africa. I've seen it in neighboring countries as well. All across the world, the need for the gospel. And the Lord has, he's been equipping me, and he's burdened me to go and plant more churches. And it's something I look forward to. I look forward to working together with Vision and partnering churches. And yeah, that's a bit about me and about us.
We wanted to share a few ways that you all can pray with us. And first of that would be his passport. It has been delayed in the process for several months. And so please pray that that would come in the next few weeks. And then the biggest prayer request, our desire is that we would come back to the States by December. And so our plan is to get married here in November. And we are applying for a visa right now for him so that we can return to the States in December of this year. Part of that is so we can come back and update all of our supporting partners in the ministry. And another aspect of that is so that we can grow that relationship between Romsa and my home church, because they will be our sending church. Yeah. And so if you all would pray with us about that, we're asking God for a miracle on this timeline, that we would receive a visa before the end of the year. And we will keep you all updated with visa updates and timelines and things like that. But thank you all so much for praying with us. And we pray that you all are doing well, and we appreciate you. Thank you.
Well, she wanted us to update you there, and I wanted to do that as well. Thank you so much for being in church tonight. Here's how we're going to do it. We're a little later than we typically are, so if you get your children from the classes down there, but we're going to ask the Campbells, if you don't mind, to slip out to your table, and I hope that you'll get by and be a blessing to them, and get a prayer card, let them know that you'll be praying for them, meet their family, and then also, I'll be back in the lobby as well with my wife and I, and Brother Hendry, if you didn't mind, you and your wife, your family, come back with us also, and I'd like for people to get to meet you. He'll be doing day camp all this week, and I want you to be praying for him, that God would use him in a special way there. And then I didn't mention earlier, but Brother Joel Logan, would you mind coming up to dismiss us in prayer? Brother Logan pastored over in Alabama. I got to meet him years ago. His father pastored a church there around Decatur, Alabama, and then he did over in Ardmore or somewhere there, but then went to pastor Tabernacle Baptist Church for some time down in Greenville, South Carolina, and is out on some evangelistic work right now. And so I'm going to ask him to dismiss us in prayer. It's a great joy to have you at Buffalo Ridge. Thank you for being here. And if we can do anything for you, Amy and I will be back in the lobby.
All right, let's pray. Lord, we sure do thank you for your many blessings, and what a joy it was to meet with your people tonight, hear the Bible preached, hear the songs of Christ sung. And Lord, we do pray, as Pastor has preached, that you'd help us to be able to see that there needs to be a magnification of the name of Jesus Christ. No other name like your name, Lord, and a world stands in need. The Netherlands, South Africa, all around the globe, Lord, people don't know you the way we do. And you've blessed us, and we appreciate that. Please keep your good hand on Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, Lord. We appreciate the work done. Pray you would continue to do more in the future. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.